Couple of announcements. We do have 10 items on the agenda. We have proposed for consent item, though. We have item number 2, item number 3, item number 6, item number 7, item number 8, item number 9, and item number 10. We have a total of 3 bills that we will be giving presentation to. We have an author here. We could start with item number 5, AB 2204 Gray, clinics, licensure, and regulation exemption. Want to get started?
Good afternoon, and thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. AB 2204 allows intermittent health clinics to operate for 40 hours per week, up from the current limit of 30 hours. This is the second bill I've carried, frankly, on this subject. You know, with the expansion of healthcare coverage here in California, rural communities such as the one that I represent increasingly have more insured constituents. We do not have more healthcare infrastructure. We do not have more doctors. We do not have more space, and our emergency rooms are frankly overloaded. And these clinics spread throughout rural communities are frankly a lifesaver for providing non-emergency healthcare to members of our community. This is my continued effort to make that care more accessible, and I would respectfully ask for the committee's support today, and I have a witness in support.
Thank you. Please state your name and proceed.
Hello, my name is Carrie Hydash, President and CEO of Family Healthcare Network. We are an FQHC that operates 26 clinics in Tulare Kings and soon to be Fresno counties. We see about 150,000 patients serve through about 680,000 visits a year. 96% of our patients are at or below 200% of poverty, and more than 50% are migrant seasonal farm workers. We're in support of this bill because it will help us to expand and preserve access to very valuable care. For instance, we are currently trying to take over a health center, in the process of taking over a health center that is serving patients, a provider who wants to retire, needs help in recruiting additional clinicians, and without this bill, we'll have to restrict access that's currently there while we go through the modernization process.
Thank you. Is anyone else who'd like to speak in support of the measure? Please come up, state your name.
Jason Vega on behalf of the Central California Partnership for Health and the Central Valley Health Network, which is a consortia of community health centers in 20 different counties, in strong support, and would like to thank Assemblymember Gray for his leadership.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Megan Subers on behalf of California Health Plus Advocates and our 1,300 community health centers in California in support.
Thank you.
Kelly Brooks on behalf of the Rural County Representatives of California here in support.
Thank you. Anyone else? Is there any opposition to the measure? No quorum yet. But, any questions, comments from any of the members? Seeing no questions and comments, Senator, would you like to close? Assemblymember, would you like to close?
Well, I'll thank Senator Roth for the attempted motion. I'll thank you for the attempted promotion, and respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Well, as soon as we get a quorum, we will move the bill, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, thank members. You.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and establish a quorum. Would you call the members, please?
Hernandez?
Here.
Hernandez here. Wynn?
Here.
Wynn here. Leyva?
Here.
Leyva here. Mitchell? Monning? Newman? Nielsen?
Here.
Nielsen here. Pan? Roth?
Here.
Roth here.
Okay, we have a consent calendar. It's item number 2, item number 3, item number 6, item number 7, item number 8, item number 9, and item number 10. Is there a motion?
So
moved by Senator Leyva. Would you call the members, please?
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen. Nguyen, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell. Monning. Newman. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye.
Consent calendar has been approved. We'll put those measures on call. We have some absent members. We have item number 5, AB 2204, Gray. This is due pass appropriations. Is there a motion? Moved by Senator Roth. Call the members, please.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Nguyen.
Aye.
Nguyen, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning. Newman. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye.
Okay, we have two items remaining, item number 1 and item number 4. If we can call some of the members to please, appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move on to item number 4, AB 2018, Manshine Mental Health Workforce Planning Loan Forgiveness, Loan Repayment, and Scholarship Programs. Good afternoon. We do have support on both sides, Assembly Member.
Great. And in light of that, Mr. Chair and members, I'll keep my remarks brief. Would like to advise the committee I will be accepting the amendments described in the analysis. The shortage of psychiatrists in the U.S. has reached crisis levels, and California is suffering the fallout. This shortage has created critical weaknesses in our public mental health care delivery system that counties are struggling to patch. And so a lasting solution requires a more substantive fix. AB 2018 addresses the shortage by tackling the heavy burden of debt so many students shoulder as they pursue an advanced medical degree. AB 2018 will expand programs for psychiatric residents in California who commit to working in the public sector. With me to testify are the individuals seated here, Dr. Samuel Robert Murray from UC Davis, and Adrian Chilton with the Steinberg Institute, and Randall Hager with the California Psychiatric Association.
Thank you. Anyone like to speak in support, please state your name and your position.
Hi, my name is Samuel Murray. I am a second-year psychiatry resident at UC Davis here in Sacramento. When I graduated medical school in 2016, I had amassed $310,000 in medical school debt, a number that's not uncommon amongst my colleagues. Right now, that's accruing 6.5% interest. By the time I finish residency training in 2020, my debt will be about $365,000. A large part of my training here at UC Davis has been in the public sector, mostly with the Sacramento County Mental Health System, where I get to treat the patients that I think are the most vulnerable, people with severe mental illness, chronically homeless, people who have otherwise been forgotten by our system. Myself, I think I've found my calling in working with these people, and after my training, I want to continue to work with them, but with $365,000 in debt, two kids at home, a wife, I don't know if I can afford to. When I look at offers that some of my colleagues are getting coming out of training to make, you know, upwards of $300,000 with signing bonuses around $100,000 to work for big private healthcare systems, it's hard to pass that up. And then when I look at what people are getting offered to work in the public sector, it's about half that. So I've got a tough decision. You know, I really want to serve this population. I feel like the opportunity provided by Assembly Bill 2018 with earlier access to loan forgiveness and scholarship programs offers people like me who want to serve in the public financial incentive and a higher chance for success for making my career what I want and serving the state of California. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Adrienne Shilton with the Steinberg Institute. We are the proud co-sponsors of this legislative proposal and believe this is a critical measure to address the shortages that we have in our psychiatric mental health workforce. Just consider the statistic that in California, 45% of our psychiatrists are over the age of 60. So the problem is going to be further exacerbated in the future as these individuals are close to retirement. So we ask for your vote today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Randall Hager for the California Psychiatric Association. I couldn't have said it much better than Dr. Murray. I think he makes the perfect case why we do have to find incentives and ways to ensure that people are motivated to do the things that we need them to do in the state. And psychiatrists are certainly in high demand at this point, and they serve really critical roles in our public system. So thank you for your support for the bill today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Brandon Margie with the California Medical Association, also in support.
Wes Sams with the United Ways of California in strong support. Thank you.
Ashley Walker on behalf of the Monterey County Board of Supervisors in support.
Kelly Brooks on behalf of the Association of California Healthcare Districts, the Rural County Representatives of California, and the County Welfare Directors Association here in support.
Good afternoon, Mary Adair, County Behavioral Health Directors Association in support.
Ryan Spencer with the California Academy of Family Physicians in support.
Thank you. Anyone in opposition?
Move the bill.
Questions, comments? There seems to be no questions or comments from any of the members. We have a motion by Senator Roth. Would you like to close, please? Assemblymember, would you like to close?
Oh, I got a little ahead of myself. I was already thanking some of the senators. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and members. Respectfully request an aye vote.
Thank you. We have item number four. We have a do pass as amended appropriations. Call the members, please.
Hernandez.
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Wynn.
Aye.
Wynn, aye. Leyva.
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell.
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Newman. Nielsen.
Aye.
Nielsen, aye. Pan.
Aye.
Pan, aye. Roth.
Aye.
Roth, aye.
Currently has 8-0, enough to get out, but we're going to place that bill in call. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
We're going to move to item number one, SCR 143, smoking, pan smoking youth, motion picture industry.
Lisa, do we want to do the consent before we get in? Do we want?
Good afternoon, Wench. Please proceed.
Okay, thank you. Chair, members. SCR 143 encourages the Motion Picture Association of America to give an R rating to any new film that features tobacco products or tobacco use with only limited exceptions. Smoking persists as a leading cause of preventable death, both in the U.S. and worldwide, and causes more than 480,000 deaths in the U.S. each year. And in 2012, the U.S. Surgeon General determined there is a causal relationship between youth viewing of smoking in movies and initiation of smoking. Then in 2014, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that exposure to depictions of smoking in movies will cause about 6.4 million children alive today to become smokers. Certainly as a pediatrician, I know that the absolute best way to prevent deaths from smoking is to prevent youth from ever becoming addicted to these products in the first place. In fact, I'm proud to have supported our legislative efforts. I want to thank you, Chair Hernandez, for your role in increasing the minimum age to purchasing tobacco to 21, and also other legislation that we've worked together on to regulate e-cigarettes and to limit access to smoking. Now, these measures will go a long way to ensuring that our future generations will not have to face the same burden of tobacco-related disease. However, research shows that there's even more that can be done to keep kids from smoking. Nearly half a century ago, the U.S. barred tobacco advertising on TV and radio, but kids continue to be exposed to tobacco use in movies with PG and PG-13 ratings. Now it's time for the legislature to lead the way by urging those responsible for rating movies to take action. Fewer youth will start smoking if all movies that depict tobacco use are given an R rating. I want to thank you for your support, and I urge an aye vote on SCR 143, and I have witnesses from support, Drs. Gordon Garcia and Stanton Glantz.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Gordon Garcia, an allergist who's practiced here in Sacramento for 25 years, caring for adults and children. As such, I've treated many patients for smoking-induced and smoking-exacerbated conditions. such as COPD and asthma, and I can attest to the difficulty of the typical tobacco smoker when trying to quit. I'm also here to represent Breathe California, Sacramento Region, which is a nonprofit public health organization that has been in our community for over 100 years, working for lung health and clean air. I had previously served on the board of directors for 8 years and currently serve as the co-chair of the Lung Health Collaborative Group. Breathe California has been working on the issue of smoking in youth-rated movies for over 25 years, and my daughter, Claire, who is in the audience today, currently runs the Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down program that recruits and trains teens to quantitate smoking depictions in movies and then make that data available to researchers around the world at no charge. Our work provides the foundation for the policy recommendations that are being considered by the committee today. The medical and scientific evidence to support SCR 143 is both clear and overwhelming. 37% of all new young smokers in the U.S. start because of the prevalence of smoking in motion pictures. This is the number one reason that young people start smoking. According to the CDC, R-rating future movies with tobacco can reduce youth smoking rates by 18%, thereby preventing 1 million tobacco-related deaths. In conclusion, we need to protect our kids better from the insidious influence of smoking depiction in youth-rated movies. This requires more restrictive ratings on movies that contain smoking. SCR 143 is an important expression of our resolve to have this change enacted by the MPAA. So I urge your yes vote on SCR 143. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
My name is Stanton Glantz. I'm a professor of medicine at UCSF, and I have been working on this issue of smoking in the movies for about 20 years now. You've already heard the worldwide scientific consensus that exposure to smoking in movies brings kids to smoke, and about half of them are going to die prematurely as a result. The MPAA has been very familiar with the scientific evidence that exposure to on-screen smoking recruits kids ever since they held a meeting in Los Angeles in 2007, where they invited the Harvard School of Public Health to make recommendations to them on this issue. And Harvard, the scientists, the MPAA itself invited, told them they should get smoking out of movies which are being sold to children. You've already heard that the CDC has said that an R rating for smoking would save about 1 million kids' lives among kids today. Furthermore, there are several independent surveys nationally which have shown that parents are very concerned about the effect of smoking in movies on their kids, with strong support to modernize the rating system to get smoking out of movies which are rated as appropriate for children. The MPAA claims, and in a letter that was delivered to Senator Pan, said it, quote, considers smoking when assigning ratings. But if you look at the rules for the rating system, it doesn't mention smoking. And since 2007, they have rated exactly one movie R for smoking. It was a Polish documentary called Wyszynski Nieprzyjazne Noce. I apologize for my poor Polish. SCR would add to the very strong message that's being sent to the studios that own the MPAA that they need to bring the rules up to date and stop selling tickets to kids for cigarettes that are going to addict them to nicotine, or for movies that are going to addict them to nicotine. I hope you'll support the resolution. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in support?
Brandon Marchi with the California Medical Association, also in support.
Tim Gibbs with the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network in support, and I'd also like to express support for my colleagues at the American Lung Association as well.
Ryan Spencer, California Academy of Family Physicians, in support.
Thank you. Is there any opposition? Questions? Comments? Oh. Opposition, sorry. Make room.
Should I leave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Terry Thomas on behalf of the Motion Picture Association of America, the trade association representing the major motion picture studios, I'm here to express our deep concerns about SCR 143. And want to make it clear at the outset that this is not our defense of cigarettes or smoking, but it is our defense of the rating system. I think the analysis that's been prepared for you has provided an excellent overview of the establishment of the Classification and Ratings Administration, better known as CARA, which is the entity which rates motion pictures, not the MPAA, which is submitted to it. It was established in 1968 as a voluntary system, not regulated by the government, by MPAA and NATO, which is the organization representing theater owners, to assist parents in providing transparency about the content of films in order to help them determine the suitability of a movie for their children. The biggest misconception facing the rating system today is that it exists for any other purpose than to inform parents about the content of films. While many find these ratings useful and informative, others question the system, and frankly, often because they don't understand its purpose. Some mistakenly believe it casts judgment on whether a film is good or bad. Others believe it serves as a gatekeeper of morality and values. Still others feel the system doesn't go far enough in promoting behavior and beliefs perceived to be socially or morally upright. None of these is the role of the rating system. We believe the rating system operates well today because it considers a variety of factors when issuing a rating, including violence, sex, drugs, and other adult activities, including smoking. In 2007, youth smoking has always been a factor, but since 2007, adult smoking was also made a factor in the rating systems, otherwise known as thematic factors, which are displayed along with the ratings. Smoking of any sort has been considered as part of the thematic material reviewed. However, smoking does not, in and of itself, automatically trigger a specific rating. It's a factor to be considered in the overall context of the movie. And I think it's important to remember that the ratings G, PG, PG-13, R, and NC-17 don't indicate that a film is made for a particular age group. Rather, the rating is intended, along with the thematic descriptors, to provide parents with advance information about the content of the film in order to help them determine what movies are appropriate for their children and at what age. For example, recently, the movie Chappaquiddick was rated PG for thematic material, including disturbing images, some strong language, and historical smoking. Entebbe was rated PG-13 for violence, some thematic material, drug use, smoking, and brief strong language. And there are others that I could tell you about as well. Between 600 and 700 movies are rated each year by the CARA board. According to CARA, in the last 10 and a half years, 53% of rated movies had some depiction of smoking. Of those, 72% were rated R because of thematic elements, which would have included smoking, but could have also included these other items that I mentioned. 22% were rated PG-13, and 6% were rated PG. So we think that the rating system has done a very good job of capturing the concerns that we are discussing today. In fact, based on CARA's surveys, the rating board has consistently maintained 80% approval among parents of young children, and they do surveys every year of these parents. Parents routinely tell the CARA board that it is not the job of the movie industry or the government to raise their children. Rather, CARA's job is to help make their job easier by providing clear information about films so parents can make movie-going choices. In conclusion, we believe that the imposition of an R rating based on a single factor, in this case smoking, because of pressure from a governmental body, is unwise and a precursor to a very slippery slope of censoring ideas expressed in a film. We respect the role of government in expressing concerns about smoking, but our strong protective instincts for the First Amendment require that we voice our concerns about government intrusion and pressure into the assignment of movie ratings. So thank you very much for the opportunity to speak on this subject.
Thank you. Is there any comments, questions? Yes, Senator Mitchell.
Thank you very much. Really, this is a question of Dr. Pan. I am not a friend or supporter of Big Tobacco, and that's not new news to anyone. But I'm curious about what your goal is about having a resolution, because I'm also very clear that kind of the movie rating system is a very political process. perhaps more political than what we engage in this building. And I remember PG-13, I remember NC-17, and was involved years ago in the ratings for music and lyrics and how political that got in terms of individual rights and parent rights, et cetera. When I think about the process I have used as a moviegoer, as a parent, in determining, when I give a thumbs up or thumbs down, it's issues beyond smoking. And so what I think, if indeed the research suggests that young people are smoking because they see it in movies, that's very telling to us about other choices young people make based on what they see in movies in terms of violence and all kinds of other activities. So what's your goal with it being a resolution? I mean, and what role do we play as a legislature in weighing in on this? We've spent a lot of time, I voted on every bill around limiting access and the proliferation of tobacco and smoking in our society, but a resolution is going to get us where?
So first of all, I would point out, and I appreciate your question, Senator Mitchell, as the opposition testified, we are not trying to legislate. In fact, the movie rating process is not one necessary subject to direct legislative oversight by imposing a particular law saying that this be the case. I think it's an expression of our collective support that given the data and the research that we have about smoking, I think that the people doing the ratings, Cara, may not be weighing the importance of that viewing of smoking. Sometimes people think, well, smoking, a lot of people smoke, what's the big deal? Sure, we don't want our kids to smoke, but they don't recognize that the way of the evidence is actually showing that this is now one of the major reasons that triggers, that encourages, that sort of sets an example for people to smoke aside from other people, smoking their own family or neighborhood. So, and even in that case, actually, most of the families I work with who smoke tell their kids, don't smoke. I started, it's really hard to quit, please don't. So what we have is we have the data, which we shared with you in our testimony, that there is concern about that exposure of children to images of smoking in movies does tend to unfortunately encourage some of them to smoke because they model. Actually, I think it speaks to the influence of movies and how popular they are and so forth. And at the same time, I think that while certainly there's broad public recognition that smoking is not good and we should not encourage it, I'm not sure. I think this resolution basically sends a signal from us as the elected officials who represent our constituencies that we need to have the ratings group look more carefully at the evidence and how much smoking how much influence its presence in movies actually has on children and the consequences of that. I'm not sure that they're actually weighing it, giving it the kind of weight it should be given, given the nature of the evidence that shows how dangerous it is. And so certainly I think that's part of what the resolution, that is certainly one, the goal of the resolution is to have Cara, and actually our preference is that when they do see they're smoking and it's that it should be rated at a level high enough that basically is a warning to parents that their child probably shouldn't be witnessing it. It's something that could have a negative effect. So I think that's the purpose of the resolution.
If I could just clarify, I got the point. I guess my point is resolution versus legislation versus a bill. So resolution, you see what I'm saying? Not the point of the issue, but the point of the type of vehicle you chose versus a Senate bill my question.
Right now, as you heard from the MPAA, that the ratings process is voluntary. It's a private one. It's not a public one. And so right now, we don't directly regulate. I don't believe there's any laws that actually sets anything about the rating system. So we felt a bill would be inappropriate, given the fact that we have a widely recognized private rating system, and we're sending a signal to them through the resolution to ask them to weigh that evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other motion or any questions?
I do.
We have a motion by Senator Leyva. Would you close?
I respectfully ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
Would you call the roll, please?
Hernandez?
Aye.
Hernandez, aye. Wynn? Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mitchell?
Aye.
Mitchell, aye. Monning? Monning, aye. Newman? Nielsen? Nielsen? Nielsen, is that an aye or a?
Aye.
Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye. Roth?
Aye.
We have six, and we'll place the bill and call. We're going to lift the calls for the rest of the bills. We're going to go with the consent calendar. Item number 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Call the members, please.
Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Newman? Pan?
Aye.
Pan, aye.
Oh, which one?
That consent. Was consent. That's 8-0. Those bills are out. We're going to open the roll for item number 4, AB 2018. Call the absent members.
Newman?
That is, what was the vote count? 8-0. That bill is out. Item number 5, AB 2204. Call the absent members.
Monning?
Aye.
Monning, aye. Newman? Pan?
Current vote count is 7-0. That bill is out.
So let me find out if Ross is coming back.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay, we're going to lift the call for item number 1. Call the absent members, please.
Wynn. Newman.
I already voted on that one.
Roth didn't vote on that one.
Oh. Roth.
Current vote count is 6-0. That measure is out. That concludes the business for the Senate Committee on Health. At this point, we are adjourned.